This was one of those Sunday mornings where I felt like we can just skip the sermon and keep on singing. Don't say amen or you'll hurt my feelings. But I so enjoyed the music this morning and really felt God's presence. I trust that you did as well. If you have your Bibles, I would ask you to open them to James chapter 3. This is our summer of James, and we're on chapter 3. It sounds to me like we're going to go right into the fall, huh? Here it is, mid-August already. It's on page 1198 in a pew Bible. I would encourage you to grab one if you didn't bring your own Bible. We're going to be reading James chapter 3, the latter part of that chapter. I was talking to someone the other day, and they had a last name that was familiar to me. And I said to them, that's kind of an unusual last name, but it's familiar to me. Do you know George? Because, you know, Kermansville, Clearfield area is a pretty small town, pretty small area. I said, do you know George? And they said, oh, yeah, I know George. He's related to my husband. But I don't know him well. You see, my husband's family doesn't get along well together. And then she paused and she said, come to think of it, my family doesn't get along any better than they do. And I thought, isn't that interesting how common it is for people not to get along well together? Do you know lots of people that are just hard to get along with? Do you have those people in your life like, oh, that person is so hard to get along with? Let me tell you, if your list of people that are hard to get along with is similar in size to the list of people you know that are easy to get along with, maybe the problem's not them. Maybe the problem's you, huh? I was looking about this concept of getting along with others and how it's difficult to get along with others, because that is what James is addressing in his passage today. And so I went to an internet search engine, I went to Google, and I typed the phrase in quotation marks, how to get along with, and that's all I typed. And I looked on the internet, and do you know there are 250,000 pages of information on how to get along with everything from your spouse to your in-laws to your neighbors to college professors to a fishing guide? How to get along with your fishing guide? Who has trouble getting along with a fishing guide? Evidently somebody does. How to get along with family members? And I see from those 250,000 pieces of advice on the internet that all of us know that people have trouble getting along together. And James knew that without having the internet. And so James addresses this. He knew the problem and he knew the solution. Let's start reading in James 3, verse 13. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all, and look at this list, pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Now, I want to look at this concept of what causes fights and quarrels among you. And I want to talk about some places just to make this relevant to us so we know what we're talking about. Let's talk about some places that you and I see strife. One of those places, where is it that it's hard to get along with others? How about this, at work? Is it hard sometimes to get along with those people you have to work with 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week? I've heard that one of the main reasons that professionals lose jobs is not because of practical incompetence, but because of personal incompatibility. Do you understand what that means? It's not that they don't know how to do the job, but it's that they just can't get along with the other people they're doing the job with. Getting along with others at work can be difficult. What about your neighborhood? I have been so blessed to always get along with my neighbors. Sharon and Barbara and Dave, they're great neighbors. But you know that sometimes, I know that sometimes, loving a neighbor can be a difficult task. Some of you know that firsthand. Neighbors fail to get along because of things like property disputes. Where is the line? I'm not sure. And what did you plant that tree there for? It's going to get in my swimming pool. And squabbles and kids fights and gossip in the neighborhood. What did I think I saw a car over there. Did you know that? And envy? Huh. Ticks me off that they have a nicer driveway than mine. And what do they need a 5-car garage for anyway? You know? All those things make it sometimes difficult to get along in your neighborhood. Strife can exist at work, it can exist in your neighborhood, and you know that it can exist in your family. We all know people who have brothers or sisters that just don't talk to one another. And sometimes it's hardest for people who actually live together to get along with one another at all. Do you know husbands who kind of live by this motto? How does that motto go? Women, you can't live with them, and yeah, I can't live without them. You're not going to say that when your wife's next to you, are you? Huh? Yeah. But you know husbands who don't say that as a joke. They mean it. Because their relationship, their marriage, is marked by strife. I was talking to someone not long ago, and he said to me, he has a good job, he has a wife who's active in the community, he has children who are growing into adulthood, all good kids, good in school, not getting into trouble. And he said to me, you know, Pastor Steve, I wish I'd never got married. And I said, well, you wouldn't have the kids and everything. They're not worth it. There's just too much strife in being married, and I would never do it again if I could. Wow. He has trouble getting along with people. Strife exists in families. It exists at work. It exists in your neighborhood. Do you see a pattern here? The pattern is, well, let me ask you this. Does strife exist on the moon? No. Do you know why? Because you and I aren't there. The attic of the church is right above us. There is no strife there. Do you know why? Because there's no people there. My house is one of the most peaceful places on the planet Earth at this very moment. Do you know why? Because there's no people there. You see, strife exists because fallen people exist. And any time you find fallen human beings, you're going to find difficulty getting along. James speaks about this, and he answers the question, why can't we get along? And James details at least 4 reasons, and I want you to see them in a text, so I hope you haven't closed your Bibles. One of the reasons is because of our lack of humility. Look at verse 13. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? And if you know James, which you should by now, you know that he's intensely practical. So for James, wisdom doesn't mean writing some theological essay or philosophical speech. Wisdom means practically living in life in a way that is beneficial to you, those around you, and glorifying to God. So he says, who can do that? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Humility. Humility is something that moves us to treat others better than ourselves. It is really hard to argue with someone who is treating you and your position better than their own. But generally, we don't treat others or their position better than our own position, better than ourselves. Generally, we don't act with humility. In fact, I would guess, those of you that are grandparents, that when someone begins to tell you how smart, how intelligent, how gifted their grandkids are compared to yours, you probably don't smack them. But you probably think twice before you invite them over for ice cream after a Sunday evening service, don't you? Why? Because we want what we have, our grandkids, our car, our people, our friends, our intelligence, our jobs. We want them to be the ones that are looked up to. And we can't look up to others sometimes because we don't have this humility that James is talking about. Failure to act with humility shows up in relationships in a lot of ways. It shows up in demanding our rights. Well, I don't like that stuff. I don't care if they do or not. I don't like it. And this is the way I want it. Lack of humility. It involves insisting people, or shows up in insisting people see things our way. Lack of humility shows up when we are trying to set the record straight. lack of humility. Being unwilling to let someone else have control, lack of humility. James is showing us that in order to get along, we have to, in order to get along and understand one another, we're going to have to set aside our own personal agendas and act with humility toward one another. Here's another reason James says we don't get along. It's our tendency of either being proud of getting things our way or our tendency to refuse to acknowledge our selfishness. Look at verse 14. We're moving right through this. That was verse 13 that spoke about humility. Verse 14 says, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfishness, selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth." Now, have you heard people doing this? Have you heard people saying, "She thought that she was going to get that ticket, and I just slipped right in front of her and took it. The last one. I got it." Okay? Well, that's what James is talking about that destroys relationships. I want you to think about that for a minute. When someone says, "She thought she was going to get that, and I jumped in and I got it right in front of her. She didn't even know." What am I supposed to read from that? That person who's telling that is bragging about how clever they are, how tricky they are, how I'm pretty smart. Notice how smart I am. But listen, what it really makes him or her look like is like they are unbearably selfish. And they care more about themselves than anybody else. And worse yet, he's selfish and he's proud of it. Don't do that. James says the reason you don't get along with others is because you either deny your selfishness or you revel in your selfishness. Don't do it. Here's a third reason that James gives, a desire to have what others have. He calls it envy. Verse 15 says, "Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, the devil. For where there's envy and selfish ambition, you find disorder and every evil practice." A good friend of mine, in fact, he was such a good friend of mine, I won't tell you that. He was really close to me, though, the kind of guy you would have stand in your wedding. You know, we were that close of friends. But he had a huge problem with envy. When we got out of high school, we went away to college. He was there, and I got a really good job working with computers. God just laid that in my lap by His grace. And my friend was envious. Didn't like it. It bothered him that he didn't have that job. On top of that, he had a really nice motorcycle. And out of the blue, God provided for Laurel and me a nicer motorcycle. I'll never forget, one of the guys come out of the apartments there in college and said, "Steve, I am so happy for you. But my really good friend came and said, I can't believe you got that." He was envious. When I graduated from that college and when I was placed in a church, he wasn't. Things weren't going well for him, his marriage falling apart, his vocational things weren't working right. And as time went on, he saw me there where I was with my family in a ministry. And he was envious. I guess he wasn't such a good friend, was he? I don't think I've communicated with him in 20 years. Why? Because envy is a destroyer of relationships. Jealousy can work to destroy your relationship. James gives a fourth reason. And a fourth reason is, and this is the biggie, an unhealthy spiritual life. Look in chapter 4. Let's review those verses at the start of 4 again. "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill, you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, but you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives. You can spend it on your own pleasures." See, when I fail to appreciate what God has given me, when I fail to make Him the object of my affection and my desire, it damages many things in my life. It damages my relationship with Him. And it damages my relationship with others. Because I've made things more important than people. And it hurts that relationship. James knows there are many ways. There are many reasons that it's hard to get along with people. These are just some that he mentions. And all of them have selfishness at the core. And that's why James speaks so clearly about what it takes to get along. Now, James lists at least a dozen things here that it takes, requirements you could call them, to get along. Looking at the clock, and I see it's a quarter till or 16 minutes till 12. So what do you think? Let's just do half a dozen of them. Is that okay with you today? Anybody object to that? I knew you wouldn't. Okay? Well, here's the first one, and it's in verse 17. In fact, he prefaces it with the words, first of all, and that requirement is purity. If you want to get along with other people, then your heart needs to be pure. He's speaking about, when he speaks of purity, he's speaking about holiness. He's speaking of purity of heart that comes only from God. And that purity comes when you recognize that Christ has died for your sins. And you say, okay, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me and wash away the darkness from my heart. And that purity continues as you walk in Him. I don't know about you, though. Sometimes impurity comes into my heart. And when that happens, I need to go right back to the cross. And I need to say, God, forgive me for allowing envy, jealousy, arrogance, lack of humility. Forgive me for allowing those things to come into my heart. Purify my heart. Touch me with your cleansing fire. Take me to the cross. Your holiness is what I desire. Purity is essential in getting along with other people. And that is a major ingredient. You know, if you're not willing to deal with your sin, you won't be getting along with other people. But when you're willing to humble yourself before God, He begins a work in you that enables you to. Well, that's number one. You know, there's five more coming. Here's the second requirement. It is to love peace, to love harmony. Look at it in verse 17. He says, first of all, pure, then peace-loving. And then in verse 18, he says, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest in righteousness. I was raised as an individual who loves conflict. Isn't that crazy? Some people seem to just love a good fight. And I was kind of like that. I don't know how that happens. I don't know if it's the red hair. Maybe it's the Scottish heritage, but my mom's not like that. And she was born in Scotland and had red hair. Maybe it comes from having two big brothers. What do you think? That might be it. But maybe you have that same thing in yourself. You just like a good fight. You'd like to go ahead and have a bang up, knockout fighting and straighten things out here. Listen, if that's you, you need to do what I need to do consistently. And that is ask God to make me love peace, to make me love harmony, and to make me hate discord. If you want to get along with others, you're going to need to love peace and shake off that fighting spirit. The third requirement is to be considerate of others. In verse 17, right after he says peace-loving, he says, be considerate of others. I want to let you know that if you are inconsiderate of someone, you will not get along with them. If you don't think about what you say when you say it, how will this affect that person? Will it discourage them? Will it make them embarrassed? Will it shame them? I don't care if it embarrasses them or discourages them or shames them or not. I'm saying it anyway. That's inconsideration. And that's destructive to relationships. I mentioned to Jim Bell, who's very considerate. I mentioned to him, I'm going to tell the congregation that Molly has been alcohol-free for a year. And Jim looked at me and said, are you sure she wants you to do that? I love you, Jim. You're always looking out for me, keeping me out of trouble, you know? What's he doing? He's making sure that Molly wouldn't be embarrassed by my bringing that up. He's making sure that what I'm thinking of doing is something that will encourage her. And I think that's what it did. That's what we want it to do. Yeah. Do you do that? Are you considerate of others? Do you think about others? That's a big part of getting along with people. Here's a fourth requirement. Submissiveness toward one another. It's the next word, submissive, in verse 17. Do you submit to others? You know, I once heard that a man who has real strength is one who has his power under control. You know? Years ago, I was at one of those lost arts festivals where people were doing blacksmithing and leather tanning and things like that. And there were two oxen. Am I using the right grammar there? I wanted to say oxes. That's wrong, isn't it? They're two oxen. You ever been around oxen? They're huge. They were so gentle. That man laid down on the grass with a sock of Timothy in his mouth and let those oxen walk right over him, and they never stepped on him. Do you remember that, Laurel? It was remarkable how gentle they were. They are so powerful, though. You could hook a horse onto something, a stump or something, and that horse, you call that when you hook a horse with a harness onto a stump, a big, heavy stump, to pull it out. You know what they call that? Tying your horse up so he doesn't go anywhere. Okay? But when you hook a team of oxen up to something like that, they have such incredible power. But that power is under control. That's the way real strength is. It is under control. And that's what submissiveness is. Submissiveness isn't just saying, oh, I'm just not good enough or tough enough to do this. Submissiveness is saying, I know who I am in Christ. I know what I am as a human being. But I choose to roll over and place you before me and honor you above me. It's a requirement to getting along with others. Here's a fifth requirement that James mentions, full of mercy. I love that song we sang, down at your feet, O Lord, is the most high place. There's a line in there that says, I'm embraced by your mercy. That's what God did at the cross. He wrapped his arms around you and he embraced you with his mercy. Doesn't that make you want to run to him? There's a church uptown that has a sign out front this week. And I asked the pastor, Pastor George Cannon, for permission to share this. It says on the sign in front of his church, there's no expiration date on mercy. I like that. It never gets sour. It never gets bitter. It never runs out. You know, it's impossible to get along with people who show no mercy, because every one of us needs mercy. And if you deprive others of mercy, you and them will not get along. It will be like depriving someone of water. They need it. They've got to have it. Depriving someone of food. He's got to have that food. Mercy is a fundamental requirement of life together. You have to show it to others. And you have to show it to yourself, by the way. You've got to give yourself mercy as well. When you show mercy, you win friendship. When you demand justice, you destroy relationships. There are people in your life, I'm sure, who have shown you no mercy. And I can guarantee you they're not your friends. And perhaps there are people in your life that you failed to show mercy to, and I can guarantee you they don't regard you as a friend. But mercy is awesome. It is powerful. The Pharisees showed no mercy. People respected them because they hated them and they had such power. Jesus showed mercy and people ran to him and loved him and respected him. If you want to get along with people, James says, you need to be full of mercy. And finally, number six, James says you need to be full of sincerity. At the end, he says impartial and sincere. In relationships, sincerity, I thought of this week, it's honesty of heart and consistency of faith. It's being honest about who you are and consistent in your relationships with people. An insincere friend is a fake friend. He's the guy who will buddy up to you just because he wants to take a ride on your Harley, you know? He's the girl who treats you well when you're around and then talks trash about you behind your back. If you do those things, you're not going to be anybody's friend. You're not going to get along with people. But honesty of heart and consistency in faith, sincerity makes it easier for you to get along with others. James knows, you know, I know that human relationships can be very challenging. And that's because all of us are sinners. Many times, people who can't get along with others just move along in their lives. Have you seen that? People who have failed to apply these requirements and others like them say, I just can't get along with them, and they just move along. Couples who are in a marriage and there's a conflict there and they're having trouble and they're like, you know what? I'm out of here. And that relationship ends in divorce because they would not apply the principles, the requirements that James gives in this passage. Church folk who go from congregation to congregation to congregation looking for just the right group of saints that they can finally get along with often do that because they will not humble themselves. They will not follow the requirements that James is laying down here. Parents who move their kids from one school to the other looking for teachers or administration who will be just the right mix for them that they can finally get along with. Many times, the problem is in those parents themselves because they will not implement some of these requirements in James to get along with one another. What is it that causes fights and quarrels among you? James 4:1 says, they come from your desires that battle within you. And until you deal with those desires before God, you will always be on the run. You'll never get along with people. So I would like us to deal with them this morning in prayer. I'd like to ask you if you would, please stand. Would you do that? If you're comfortable doing so, please stand. And what I want you to do, I'd like you to just bow your hearts for a minute. And before God, just in the silence of your spirit, just say the sentence to Him. God, show me what I need to change in order to get along better with others. In the silence of your heart, say that to Him, and then just listen to what His Holy Spirit would say. Father in heaven, we recognize that the things that cause quarrels and fights among us are things that come from inside of us. We desire, God, to be individuals who get along with others. So first of all, give us this wisdom that comes from heaven that is pure. Cleanse us of our sinfulness, not just theologically, not just our position, but our condition. Change our hearts and wash away the darkness from our lives. Fill us with an appreciation and a love for peace. Help us to stop valuing the battle that we fight with people around us, and instead begin valuing the harmony that we can express when we agree together. Make us considerate of one another. Lord Jesus, you demonstrated such consideration for us when, while we were still sinners, you died for us. Make us that kind of people. Make us submissive toward one another. Help us to understand that that takes a kind of strength that not very many people have, and it has to come from you. So give us that strength. Make us merciful people. We have been embraced by your mercy. May we embrace others with mercy. And give us a sincerity of heart that honestly works to show true friendship and doesn't act with hypocrisy. Bind us together in a bond of love that is clear, that is demonstrated by you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and is reflected in our midst. In Christ's name, amen.